Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we're going to talk about the new story, the new study out today in a scientific journal, PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences on potheads. Do you believe it? Nowadays they have studies on potheads. This study is on regular pot smokers, those who smoke marijuana at least four times a week for the last half a year, compared to another control group that has never smoked. And according to the headline in the LA Times, regular pot smokers have shrunken brains. That's the headline today, based on the paper that has been published today in PNAS. We'll get to that. And then we also have Rush Limbaugh threatening to sue the DCCC. Hey, this is good. He should, of course. Now, I don't know what the evidence is that Rush Limbaugh is a Christian. Trust in Jesus Christ. His brother, David, clearly does. And in fact, Rush had a great Bible study on his national radio show, and his brother a few weeks ago was sharing the gospel. It was just tremendous. But I don't know the evidence that Rush is a Christian, but this here is something good. Just like in the Bible, when unbelievers do good things. You know, remember there were prostitutes, and the one's baby died, and the other claimed that the living baby was hers. And so they went to Solomon, and Solomon said, well, take the living baby and cut it in half and give half to each woman. They were prostitutes. And he said that because he intuited that the actual mother would be willing to give up her child out of love for the child. And so the one woman said, no, don't harm the baby. Give her the baby. And Solomon realized who the mother was. So even when people are not Christians, they often will do things that are right, that are good, even. And so here, Rush Limbaugh has threatened to sue the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee for stating that during the run-up to the election, in a fundraising electioneering publication, they stated Rush Limbaugh is advocating for the tolerance of rape. They stated that. And so he is suing them, demanding that they make a public retraction and apology. And they've also said that even with a retraction and an apology, there's no guarantee that that would prevent the lawsuit. So I want to talk a bit more about that. Hopefully we'll get to that. And then there is Dr. Ben Carson, who's currently a favorite of many conservative Christians, mostly because he appears on Fox News. But he, just to remind everyone that he supported the Republican running for office in Oregon, Monica Wehby, W-E-H-B-Y, who's pro-abortion, pro-choice. And he said, hey, she's personally pro-life. Personally pro-life. And that's whenever somebody says, and that's what she says. She says she's personally pro-life, but the decision to have an abortion is a personal decision between a woman and her family, and that the government should stay out of it. So that's called pro-choice. I mean, Hillary is personally pro-life, right? What would Ben Carson say about someone who said, well, personally, I would not lynch a black man, but I don't think the government should say anything about it? What would he say? What would Ben Carson say about a politician who says, well, personally, I wouldn't lynch a black man, but why should the government be involved? I mean, that shows the hypocrisy. And he calls her position, he says, she's principled and she's savvy. How is that principled? And what kind of savvy is it? By the way, when she says that she's personally pro-life, but the decision is a personal decision between a woman and her family, come on. What pro-abort says it's between the woman and her family? And that's a direct quote. I mean, to pro-aborts, if the father of the child is desperately pleading to save the child's life, the pro-abort politician says, you can kill the baby. Go ahead and kill the baby. Dismember the baby. So at any rate, Ben Carson is morally challenged, which is not surprising. I mean, he's frequently on Fox News. That's one indicator. And then we also have the insanity of the culture of death. This comes from an article both in The Independent out of England and on National Review by Wesley Smith that there is legislation for assisted suicide, and there are opponents there in the House of Lords, and the opponents are perhaps being appeased by a judicial oversight amendment so that if someone is going to their doctor for help in committing suicide, then there would be a judicial oversight role. So a judge would be asked to render the final decision, the power over life or death, whether this doctor can help kill this patient. And Wesley Smith, who's previously, you know, he appears to be pro-life, but he did criticize a South Carolina personhood bill because it mentioned God. And that was peculiar because, I mean, if you removed God, so many of our founding documents would disappear and our currency would disappear. But at any rate, Wesley Smith points out the insanity of having judges approve the killing of a patient, of someone, of an innocent human being who's not been convicted of a capital crime. And he points out the insanity of that and how that's even worse than just normal old decriminalized assisted suicide, because now the government, a judge, a government official, is getting in the middle and saying, okay, yeah, you can kill that person. So he says that's even worse. And I'd like to ask Wesley Smith to consider all the child-killing regulations passed by America's pro-life industry when they have judicial bypass, where they say, okay, you need a parent's permission or parental notification to kill this child right here, but if a judge says it's okay, then you could go ahead and kill the child. And so that's assigning the exact same role to a government official, making it even worse. And so Wesley Smith hopefully could connect those dots. All right. So those are some of the topics we'd like to discuss today here at Bob Benyart Live. Our website, kgov.com. This first study, regular pot smokers have shrunken brains. I mean, you'd think this stuff is made up. This comes from a leading peer-reviewed scientific journal, PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The NAS is the most prestigious body of scientists in the world, certainly in America. This is the U.S. National Academy of Sciences. This is their journal, their proceedings. And as reported today in the LA Times, because the paper is just out today, experimental mice have been telling us this for years. They have mice, they inject mice with THC, and so the mice end up with the part of their brain shrinking. And so potheads, of course, for years have said, oh, that's biased, that's not happening to us. Potheads think they're smarter than they are. That's a normal symptom of smoking pot. And compared with a person who never smoked marijuana, someone who uses marijuana regularly has, on average, less gray matter in their frontal cortex. That's the region of the brain that's involved in decision making, reward, motivation. Now, Doug McBurney, really, Doug should be doing this segment with me, because he and I plan to do an update on our negative effects of marijuana on a Real Science Radio program in January. We might make that an annual tradition here on KGov.com and Real Science Radio. But this here, oh, and by the way, I mentioned Doug. Doug should be in studio tomorrow. And some of you may have gotten a letter from Doug McBurney. You know, sometimes they come in here and it's like a mutiny. They take over the studio. Well, Doug put together a letter and sent it not to everyone in our mailing list, but to many. And I saw it just as it was going out, and I was very humbled and thankful. Doug saw that our telethon, while so many people gave so much and we're so grateful, we missed our goal, and we're really struggling financially. And so Doug took it upon himself to write a letter. He conspired with our office staff to get the mailing list. He printed it out. He paid for the postage. He and his wife and their three daughters, three homeschool kids, put all the labels and the postage on and stuffed the envelopes and sent out this very heartfelt letter asking people to help BEL to get a more secure financial footing and to be able to stay on the air, to reach more people. We're making so much progress in so many areas. I mean, that one area, our Friday shows, Real Science Radio, we're a small part of the battle, but the battle is going well. A famous theistic evolutionist wrote a column recently, and he lamented that last year was a terrible year for evolution. Because why? He said that the books against evolution, some of them are like New York Times bestsellers, and the percentage of Americans who believe that God was involved in the origin of human life had increased. The percentage of people who believe that Darwinism could explain life on Earth decreased by about a 6% shift. So he said last year was a terrible year for evolution. And that translates to a very good year for creation. That's one of the areas. One of the areas where here at Bob and Yurt Live, Real Science Radio, Theology Thursday, we're trying to make an impact. So at any rate, this story, regular pot smokers have shrunken brains. We should, by rights, we should be doing this with Doug here, but it's out today, and I want it to be timely with this report. And so this part of the brain, the frontal cortex, that is a key area of decision making. Now, how would a scientist know that? Well, because they scan the brain. Why? They look at the electrical activity in your brain and under controlled circumstances, and you're put through your paces. And when you have to make a decision, they see which part of your brain is firing neurons. And so they see that, you know, which parts of your brain are involved with creativity, appreciation of music, with relationships, with pleasure. And this frontal cortex is important for motivation, for decision making. And so it, as you smoke a lot, 4 times a week or more for at least 6 months, then you have less gray matter. And so this finding, this peer-reviewed study will go on our website, kgov.com/pot. kgov.com/pot. Now, as you might realize, because marijuana is an obsession with tens of millions of people in America and hundreds of millions around the world, especially on our universities where a lot of the research is done. Because of that, there are millions and millions of web pages about marijuana and the effects of marijuana. And a lot of the pothead websites will say there are no negative effects to marijuana. You know, they'll say things like that. And so if you Google negative effects of marijuana, it's hard to find a reliable site. And so we are working to build our article, kgov.com/pot, to climb the rankings in Google. So the negative effects of marijuana, if people Google that, it used to be we're like number 900, and then number 200, and then number 97, then number 80. And we're now approaching the third or fourth page in the Google rankings. And with God's help, eventually we'll be on the first page, because we do have the web's very best listing of the peer-reviewed scientific journal papers on the negative effects of marijuana, and along with quite an interesting article. So at the top of the article is the list to all the peer-reviewed studies, and then there's a very interesting article answering the bogus arguments in defense of smoking pot. So at any rate, we'll add this as another 2014 study. So these new findings were reported today in the journal PNAS, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and they confirm findings about chronic marijuana use from rodents. So for years, researchers have known you take a rat, you turn it into a pothead rat, and its frontal cortex, its brain shrinks. You get less gray matter. So now they have confirmed that. Now, this wasn't a huge study. There were about 110 subjects, and it was split about 50-50, half potheads, half non-users, half normal people. They've over the years, it's been difficult to study the effects of marijuana on the brain, because when researchers purchase brains for study, they have to pay by the pound. And I don't know if you realize how many pothead cadavers you need to get a pound of brains. But it does get expensive. Well, that last part I just made up. But this study was conducted by researchers from the University of Texas, their Center for Brain Health, and they compared these chronic users at least four times a week over the past 6 months with non-using control subjects, and they matched them for age and gender, and they were ages 28 to 30 years old. And they also noted, this wasn't the purpose of their study, this just happened to come out of the data. They said, oh, by the way, the marijuana group had significantly lower IQ than the non-users. Now, we've reported that in the past because it's in the peer-reviewed studies that marijuana permanently lowers your IQ. It makes you stupid. And, you know, why do you think they call it dope? And there are hundreds of millions of people who, more than that, somebody in the studio audience is saying more than that. What, you know what I'm going to say? They know what I'm going to say. There are hundreds of millions of people who laugh at jokes on TV, whatever comedy, stand-up comedian, jokes about how stupid potheads are. And two things about humor. One is it has to be in some sense plausible, has to have a ring of truth to it, and two, it has to be unexpected. And so the ring of truth about potheads being stupid is that we've all seen that potheads are stupid. Why do you think they call it dope? Okay, so that's news from the kgov.com/pot file. And if you link to one of our important articles, one of the issues that we cover carefully, like whatever it is from science, like young Earth or dinosaur soft tissue or evidence against the Big Bang. If you put a post on Facebook or on a forum and you link to one of our articles, that helps significantly in Google rankings. Also, if you search, let's say you were to search for some topic. What topic? Say, what does the Bible say about wine? Right? Let's say that, for example. And you saw the top 10 articles, and one of them was at kgov.com. When you click on one of those, you are helping Google decide what to rank highly. And so not only for kgov.com, but for any website like creationscience.com, Walt Brown's website, when you do a search and you on an important topic and you see an article on that topic on a Christian important website, when you click on that, it helps spread the word. So just think about that when you are searching, because, you know, so much of what we do affects the world around us. Okay. So now, Rush Limbaugh. I'm so thankful that Rush is doing this. Limbaugh's lawyer has demanded that the Democrats, and this is the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, that the DCCC preserve all records in anticipation of a lawsuit for defamation. So this Democratic Party group took statements that Rush made out of context, blatantly out of context. Rush is talking about our universities trying to come up with some kind of a code of conduct regarding when no means no. We're at such an insane degradation of the culture that that's where we've arrived at, because the issue of rape has been confused by liberals who argue, for example, that statutory rape laws are not valid, and they constantly put pressure to lower the age of consent, especially for homosexual behavior, men with boys. And so that blurs the understanding of the crime of rape. And they argue that children, that a 12-year-old girl can consent to sex with a 14-year-old boy, so you can't charge the boy with statutory rape. So that blurs the distinction. Then they talk about date rape, which is a term that I've always been disposed against, because rape is rape. And so there's a lot that liberals have done to blur the issue of rape, and also the refusal to punish rapists as they should be punished. The way we coddle criminals, and we, what do we do to criminals? We do the same thing we do to kids that doesn't work. We put them in timeout. So jail is timeout for criminals. And we, you know, we feed them, clothe them, entertain them, educate them, medicate them, keep them warm in winter, cool in summer. They play foosball and basketball, volleyball, softball, whatever. They watch cable TV, soft porn, they buy pornography, they gamble, and just, it's absurd. But so they coddle rapists. I mean, rape includes the lesser crime of kidnapping. Rape includes the lesser crime of kidnapping. Rape includes the unlawfully holding someone against their will. And so the punishments for rape, if someone is convicted of rape, they should never be able to commit such a crime again. Never. But we sacrifice women, mostly women, on the altar of being nice to rapists. Oh, and by the way, remember not only the liberal media, but the conservative talking heads mocking Missouri's Todd Akin for his comment about legitimate rape. Remember that? And their defense then of positions of compromised pro-life positions like by Mitt Romney and George W. Bush. The irony of all that is that Todd Akin supported personhood and believed that a baby was a person at the age of conception, and so it's always wrong to intentionally kill that baby. So the question of how the baby came into existence is irrelevant. You just can't kill the baby. It's Mitt Romney and George W. Bush who say that they were against abortion except for rape. So you know what that means? By Mitt Romney's policy, by the policies that are more palatable to mainstream compromised Republicans, by that policy, then you need to determine if there was a legitimate rape by their policy. That's Mitt Romney policy. That wasn't Todd Akin policy. Todd Akin uttered the words, it's Mitt Romney policy. When you say I'm against abortion except for rape and incest, that means that you think that the government should not allow abortion unless the woman was actually raped. And so that is George W. Bush's policy. And that is, of course, like wickedness generally, it sends you into a time of irrationality and insanity, and how you cannot possibly enforce that kind of policy. What is a doctor going to investigate to find out if the pregnancy was actually the result of rape, or is he just going to say, well, we'll abort everybody because we can't determine that? We're a hospital. We're not a detective agency. So at any rate, to say that Rush was advocating the tolerance of rape was defamation. And I'm thrilled that he's suing the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Now, they've only served notice of intent to sue. They have asked for the preservation of all records in anticipation of a lawsuit. But we'll see what happens with that. Okay, so we're out of time, aren't we? Where did the first show of the week go? Our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, KGOV.com. If you know somebody that smokes marijuana, why don't you check out our webpage, KGOV.com/pot, P-O-T, KGOV.com/pot, and you could just email them the list or send them the link or email the list of studies. It's horrifying.